Welcome to Guys We Fucked. Guys We Fucked.
Guys We Fucked.
I'm Christina.
I'm Corinne.
We're sorry about last night.
Fucked. The anti-slut shaming podcast. I never stop.
Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Guys We Fucked.
Anti-slut shaming podcast. I was gonna say, I was like, you can hear the happiness in Christina's voice.
You can hear the sun on my skin.
We're in Los Angeles, bitches.
And we're wearing shorts and flip-flops.
So yes. Everyone's so mad
sorry.
At us.
I don't care.
We posted a lot of beach selfies today.
I gotta see everybody else's vacation pictures.
Right.
You're gonna see mine.
Well, this is a workcation.
Well, so I know, but still.
Just want everyone to know.
Thank you so much to everyone who came out last night to the
Sold
comedy
out.
Store. Sold out show, baby.
That felt good.
Yeah, it did.
That was fun.
Yeah.
That was exciting.
That reduces the echo.
Oh.
That's why I did that. I just moved your mic down.
Wow.
a little trick here. I'm like the Bill Nye of
the
microphones.
Guru.
Yeah. Thank you so much to everyone who came out. We had so much fun, you guys. And you hung out and drank with us afterwards. And it was so much fun. Oh, God. What a lovely show.
Yeah. I enjoyed it. I dropped one piece of my cheeseburger ring in the garbage and someone even helped me get it out.
Oh, good.
We emptied the entire trash can and it was at the bottom because it was going to ruin my night if I would lost a piece of that.
Was it the bun or like
yeah,
a
it was
piece?
The rhinestone bun top.
Oh, fuck. You can't lose that.
That was like the main thing. Like if it was
just like an open face sandwich.
Yeah. If it was like a piece of lettuce, if it was the ketchup, I could have maybe gotten past it.
Yeah.
But it was the
not
bun.
Not the bun.
Mm-mm. And it was the most important part of the bun.
The top of the bun?
The rhinestoned bun top.
Oh my God.
Yeah. The rhinestones represent sesame seeds, Christina.
Oh.
Get it?
Shit.
Katy Perry.
How did I miss that?
Katy Perry made quite an art piece.
How did I miss that?
She made quite an art piece.
Oh. We went to the beach today. We're just going to talk about how warm it is real quick.
I mean, it was a little chilly at the beach.
Yeah. Then we went to the beach. We put on our bathing suits. And I'm like, oh, it's so cold.
And then I put a coat on over my bathing suit. Yeah. It was fun.
The homeless people in Los Angeles are unlike homeless people in New York.
Yeah. They make the homeless people in New York look like babies.
Yeah, like I would invite them in my
like happy babies. Yeah.
Yeah. Really bizarre. Like they look like they're from The Walking Dead and they're walking around.
It's not a good situation.
They're walking around like they're solving a Rubik's Cube in their head and it's very, very.
But we all know they're not.
Oh, they're definitely not.
No.
They're plotting something. How to get food, maybe. I don't know. Hopefully. Just way different. They're scarier. They scare me.
No. Like New York has homeless people. LA has homeless people.
They ain't never gonna get no home.
Mm-mm.
Oh, they're nuts. And we had ice cream on a pier. I just can't believe this is happening.
You know I like that we just
hashtag blast.
It was like really fun. We like saw homeless people and then we got ice cream. That was like a summary of just the intro.
We went and saw the homeless people on the pier and then we ate in front of them and they were like, fuck yeah. Oh, that's awful. That was a character of the worst person in the world.
Well, we're turning into a like, we've been here for a day and a half and we're already complete pieces of shit.
Corinne was like, I want to see a celebrity. We'll see a celebrity. And we're on our way to the comedy store and I pull up to none other than Mr. Seth Rogen and he looks at me and I go, Seth Rogen. And he's like, nah, bitch.
Yeah, he was very uninterested in us.
You need to stop looking at me. And go away.
He was like, we're in LA now. He's like, your fucking Lime Crime and Urban Outfitters ain't doing it for me. I want some fake titties and a tan.
He didn't want any of that. He wanted to go home, smoke. But no, I was like trying to drag race him. I was trying to be like cute and be like, vroom, vroom, motherfucker. And he's like, you need to go away.
He was like, I hate being Seth Rogen so much. So if I could shave my face off, I would.
Oh, and we saw so many New York comics at the comedy store.
Yeah, that was exciting.
That was really fun. No, not so much.
I was like, why are you here? No, it was funny, but I was...
Why are we here?
No, but I mean, it's just like, you know how it's like you're in a different world. You want to be in a different world.
Yeah. But it's nice to see a familiar face. Mark Norman, friend of the podcast, was on our plane.
Yeah.
That was pretty fun. He looked real tired. But still good.
But still handsome.
I know. It's so annoying.
Yeah, it was pretty annoying.
But boys, you were saying boys can look good.
Boys can
for
fly.
For a 9 a.m. flight. And girls look like... Grrr.
Yeah.
Like, it was not a good... Equivalent of that sound.
Was not a good scene.
Oh, man. So we're having fun living the life. I miss you, Steven. I was texting Steven pictures of me on the beach, but like way more risque.
I'm sure he appreciated that.
He was like, go fuck yourself.
No, I'm saying that's why.
Because it was snowing.
Yeah.
And he's like, oh, I'm going to go grocery shopping in the snow. I'm like, fine, I'm gonna go get an ice cream cone now and ride a roller coaster. Oh, P.S. There was fuckers at our show on Tuesday night that said that we could get free tickets to Six Flags.
Magic Mountain.
Magic Mountain.
Yeah.
Can you email us the free tickets? I really want to go.
That's really good.
Yeah.
I like how you discreetly said that.
Yeah, you know, just between me and you, boo-boo.
Just between me, you, the listeners, and the Magic Mountain.
Yeah, yeah. So, yeah, we have a bunch more shows. We have a show tonight.
Yeah. And one of those fuckers, his name is Javier, and he's celebrating a birthday this weekend. So
happy birthday, Javier.
Happy birthday, since we're also asking you for things.
Happy, happy birthday.
So we're going to give a little reciprocity. That's a word. I mean, I can't.
Supercalifragilistic.
I can't properly. Reciprocity is how you properly pronounce it, but I was just having trouble.
Fuck that. Whatever.
Give and take.
Yeah. Let's read an email.
Okay.
Let's talk about some sex stuff because I got to stop shutting. I got to shut up about the warm weather. I'm annoying myself.
Yeah. Well, it's okay. We're here. Okay. So this is an email about jizz. Dear Christina and Corinne, first off, love you guys and the podcast. You keep me laughing throughout my boring work day. My name is Miles and my beautiful, loving girlfriend will go unnamed. She also loves the podcast. Our relationship started as a scandalous love triangle. She was stuck with her high school boyfriend whom she had lost feelings for, but had a hard time breaking it off after high school.
Oh no!
During that period of breakup, she would come over and give me the best blowjobs of my life. And we both kind of knew that's all it really was. As this went on, her being so beautiful, seductive, and an actual cool person to talk to, we developed feelings for each other. Finally, she was mine.
Yes.
And her ex was slowly but surely out of the picture.
Fuck yeah, bro.
That's just a small summary background because I think you guys like to hear how the relationship starts.
We do.
Anyways.
Uh-huh.
As our relationship has gone on, I promise you, Christina is not high right now.
I'm not. So
she had
sober.
Ample opportunities to be high, but she is not
during the day, y'all.
Currently high. Yeah. It's 7:44 p.m. And she is sober as a motherfucker.
Welcome to the inside of my head.
As our relationship has gone on, we've gotten into more fun stuff besides blowjobs. Well, that's good.
That's good. Like sex and stuff.
The sex is the best. Sometimes we make love, sometimes we fuck. I'm sure you two get that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, recently we've started ass play, like her finger in my ass during head. I really enjoy it. She does too, but only during sex and no anal sex. We've tried, but it was just too painful for her.
Ouch.
Which is fine. I'm all about respecting a woman and her boundaries. That's cool. Thanks, Miles.
That's good. There needs to be more
of you. Last night, she gave me head and also surprised me by licking my asshole, which I had never had done. Now, granted, she was a little tipsy. We were talking about it today, and I was asking if we were going to keep that in our, quote, playbook. She laughed and said maybe, then jokingly suggested that next time she gives me head, she wants me to taste my own load. What started out as a joke and may still be one, but it was the first time I felt out of my comfort zone. We are in love and would never do anything or force anything the other didn't want, but I just thought it was a funny topic and would be perfect to ask the pros, not sure where they are, about.
Where's the pros?
So
wait, where are they?
I was like, Dr. Drew was not invited to this podcast, and would be perfect to ask the pros about. So please let me know what you think about this scenario.
Okay.
You guys also submitted pictures. You guys were like a hipster, sexy bitch couple.
Very, very attractive couple.
Yeah, I like it.
I love when people send us pictures.
Yeah, it's very nice.
So drinking the jizz.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the thing with that. I would never expect a guy to drink his own jizz, but if he did, I would be so impressed and I would respect the move. What I think, what I do think is a good, like, well, if you do this to me, then I have to do it to you. Butt sex, put a finger up his butt. But the guy, like, I think every guy should have a finger up their ass. Gently and, you know, done.
But wait, didn't the email say that already?
Well, no, I know. But in terms of like, oh, if I'm drinking your cum and you drink, then I want you to taste it.
Right.
So I think I think he should do it. I think that's a respectable move.
My thing is,
and
like,
it's not that bad.
What are we talking about? Like, see, I mean, are we talking about like jizzing in a cup and drinking it? No.
Oh, that's a little, no.
I think you should jizz on her and then lick it off her, like her breasts or her stomach.
Ooh.
Or her ass.
Oh,
that's how
shit.
I would do that. And honestly, guys are very disgusted with like licking their own semen, and I don't understand why.
Yeah.
Because
it's weird.
Because I think I don't know. I mean, I've tasted my own lady jizz.
Well, I mean, I've sucked a peen that's been in my vagina.
Right.
It tastes kind of good.
Yeah. It's like anything that's coming from your body, I mean, besides like poop. Because that's not safe. Like,
no.
It's all fine.
It's fine.
It's fluid. Fine. It's okay.
I think you should do it.
You know, sometimes you have a cold and you have mucus dripping from the back of your nose and you're tasting that.
That's
your cum's probably better.
Cum tastes better than that.
Yeah, it's probably a tastier treat. It's like, girls. Yeah, girls are licking your cum all the time. Why don't you taste a little bit?
You're slowly going, yeah, you fucking drink that shit, bitch.
Asshole.
No, you actually seem like a very loving boyfriend. So kudos to you for being a respectful, loving, caring man.
Yeah, I mean, whether or not she was joking, I don't even think it matters. I think she would think it was hot. Just take a little.
I think it'd be hot.
Don't even talk about it.
Because guys think it's hot when you suck their dick after they've been inside you.
Yeah.
Yeah, you like the taste of that? Yeah. Well, I mean, I guess, but like, that's not why I'm doing
it. Yeah, it's off. Come on her tits and then lick it off and then write me back. Oh my God. Write us back, please.
Take a photo of it.
I mean,
don't. I mean, don't have to.
You can, but I feel like that might be degrading.
Don't worry about to that. Her. No, yeah, no. Don't do that. You know, when I say things that come in my brain and then I don't have a filter,
it happens. It's okay.
Okay. Well, that was cool.
I like that. Christina is
like the jizz.
Christina wants to get back to the sun. It's not.
Yeah, I
want to
go outside,
but
I know it's dark out.
Sun's our heart. We're gonna go out and keep living the LA life.
So this is Friday. We have a show tonight at the Comedy Store. It's 7:30.
Yes,
tickets are available now online. They weren't available before.
It's called the Shindig Show. So definitely come out and see that.
And on Monday,
it's in the original.
Oh, the
original. There's three rooms at the Comedy Store. So just make sure it's the 7:30 p.m. show in the original room. Jimmy Shin and Gabby Conti, a friend of the podcast, are going to be on that show, so that's going to be exciting.
Yeah. Ham and Eggs Tavern on Monday at 9:30. Come to that.
That's a free show. It's like a little, you know, chill indie show if you're in the area.
And
that's
my friend Ollie's going to be bartending.
Yay. So we're going to be ripped.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's
we're going to be fun.
We're going to get tanked.
So I don't know who's going to drive us, but
we can. Maybe we'll be Ubering.
Maybe we'll Uber
show.
It. Just because we need a night.
Safety first.
I drove last night. You know, the whole thing with the driving is you can't. I drank last night, but then I had to drink like a bunch of waters like an hour before.
Yeah.
Because you don't want to. That's the most irresponsible thing you could do is drink alcohol and get in a car.
Well, absolutely not. Yeah. That's like not a cool thing to do.
Yeah. It's awful. So, yeah. So that, but you know, and it doesn't really, you know what? It's not that bad. I thought I was going to suck the joy out of the end of my evening.
Well, you're
a
not a huge drinker anyway.
Right. Exactly. I didn't really get drunk anyway. Yeah. But I don't like to be even, you know, you shouldn't be tipsy in a car. You should be fucking.
No.
You should be sober as fuck.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
That's also true.
Never, ever, ever drink and drive.
Yeah.
So yeah. So one of the nights we'll take an Uber home so I can get tanked.
Yeah.
Please. Mama gonna get tanked.
Please do. Any night. I'm more than open to that.
Okay.
I'm fine with that.
All right, guys. Well, thank you so much for listening to this intro to this podcast.
Yeah. And now, sorry for rubbing it in your face as if you're in a cold climate.
Yeah. But you know what? It'll be fine. You'll be okay. You're not going to die.
I mean, and maybe you will. And maybe
we're all going to die.
It won't be okay. But no.
But then that's what it is.
Nonetheless, you still discovered this podcast. I don't know. What the fuck are we talking about?
I don't know.
No.
Yeah. So our guest this week is a great friend of Stevens. That's how I know him. He goes by Troy Kwan, named Troy, but his DJ name's Troy Kwan. He's produced a bunch of podcasts and he has an incredible past that I think is so fascinating. He had one of the most horrible things I could ever imagine happening to another human being happen to him.
Right.
And he,
it's just very interesting. I don't want to ruin it, but
really
he's a legend.
Guy. Yeah.
Like if you have a friend who's a legend, this is that guy.
Yeah. You know that friend who like did everything before everybody else sexually and otherwise, like this is that guy.
Yeah.
He's so fucking awesome.
Yeah.
So ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited to have Troy on the show. Enjoy.
Hello.
The legendary Troy. Oh, you're a legend in my household.
Oh, man. You're a legend to me, and I don't even live in the household.
Do you know you're a legend?
I you know, I didn't know that. But thank
really?
You for the, thank you for letting me know.
Well, so Troy, you have, you're a man of many hats, but the how I know you is you're friends with Steven.
Yeah.
And he has this really funny story about meeting you for the first time, and you had a band, and this band included strippers?
Yeah.
Yeah, strippers. It was a rap band.
Yeah, rap group from Philly.
With strippers in the band.
Yeah, and we would bring strippers with us. No instruments. We just had a DJ.
Oh, the strippers played you. They played the ukulele.
No, you don't need instruments when you have strippers.
No, yeah, absolutely not.
You know, the idea was like, you know, we didn't really have instruments, so you need something to fill up the stage. You know what I mean? Right. So it's like, why not?
Why not tits?
Yeah, and everybody likes naked girls. So.
Yeah,
even girls.
Were they completely naked or just like a little tit here, a little tat there?
It really depended.
Yeah.
On the venue, and a lot of times, like the venue would be like, no nudity at all, and we just be like, fuck it, take it off.
Fuck you,
know?
You. Was yeah. it your idea to have strippers? Whose idea was it to have strippers?
It was like kind of, it was just kind of a collective. We were hanging out with a lot of strippers, and it was just like, hey, you might as well come on stage with us, and it sort of worked.
Did they go on the road with you?
Yeah.
That how was that?
It was great.
Strippers did you have good sex with all of them?
We tried to. Yeah, I mean, we definitely
did it work.
We made an attempt to make that happen.
Okay.
There was definitely some. What was really great is they would go strip, and then we'd go out on the road, and then they would pay for our gas for our van, and they would buy us hotels, and you know, we were you know, just a lousy group.
So you
from
had
Philly.
Like stripper sugar mommies,
kind of.
That wow. sounds like the best thing ever.
Yeah, it was pretty cool. Uh-huh. And then, like, as the band got bigger, there was just more strippers, and the grade of stripper went up.
Oh,
which was,
what does that mean?
Well, you know, we kind of had some of like the, you know, the bottom end, you know, stragglers, you know, and then you kind of went up a notch.
Straggler stripper.
Yeah, you know, and then you'd go up a notch to like, you know, maybe like 6.5, 7s.
Okay, yeah.
Wow.
On the Kinsey scale of yeah. good lookingness.
And then you'd start
going
up. The
Kinsey scale of good lookingness. Did yeah. you just make that up?
I just made that up.
Because
I top
think
of my head.
Kinsey was rating something different.
Yeah, he was, but don't worry about it.
And then we were fortunate enough to have Jenna Jameson on our album cover.
Damn.
So now that kicked
That's
us
huge.
Up into a hole like, oh shit, you're hanging out with Jenna. Like, oh, we must be down with you. And then we would.
Oh, that got that point, you cool points.
Yeah.
Now, what was it like hanging out with Jenna Jameson? Is she a legend?
She
was.
I mean, she was actually very sweet to us.
Uh-huh.
She was very
she was famous. That was just a while ago.
This
so
is
she
when
was like
she was
peaked. Wow.
Yeah.
What an honor that must have been.
It was cool.
What was it like asking her, do you want to be on my album cover, Jen Jameson?
Well, it was kind of funny because there was this like a shitty strip club in Reading. I think it's even still there.
I've probably
and,
been there.
I'm sure. Yeah, I'm sure Steve could tell you about it. It's called Al's Diamond Cabaret.
Yep, I'm pretty sure I went to
and
that.
It was actually like a barn converted into a strip club.
I love it.
Wow, how quaint.
Yeah, but at that time they would have like the big girls in, and Jenna was one of them, and she came
Whoa.
In. Yeah, and we just basically stalked her, and we were like, hey, you got to come on our album cover. And she was like, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then she had a manager that was kind of blocking us, and we didn't give a fuck. Like, we went for it, and she finally said, yeah.
Wow.
So, yeah, it was cool.
That's awesome.
A lesson in persistence,
for sure.
Did you ever
touch your poon?
You know.
Oh, shit, that's a yes.
So that was an obvious yes.
Yeah, we like, her and I hung out for a short period of time.
Oh, okay. I love that.
Cool.
You're a modern man using hung out as bones
yeah.
a lot.
Well, you
what
be,
a respectable
a little classy,
gentleman.
You know? Yeah.
You don't kiss a porn star and tell.
Yeah.
You don't do that.
That hurts girls' feelings.
And another thing that Steven had told me was one of the first times he hung out with you guys at the show, he was asked to participate in a Bukkake film.
Wow, I don't even know if I remember that.
And
but
they were just like, oh, we're gonna be filming a Bukkake film in the hotel later after the show. You guys want to be in it? And they were like, maybe, I don't know.
You know what? Like, this is, and I'm not kidding when I tell you this. Like, that very well could have happened. And I believe Steve over that. It's just that time period of my life was so fucked up.
Uh-huh.
And there's so many times that. I probably should be dead from that period of my life.
Wow. From drugs or like
just from
punching bitches?
Just
living too wild.
Across the board.
Yeah.
You know, like almost getting shot and drugs and all sorts of crazy. Like, it really was a fucked up time. And it only is till about maybe like 2 or 3 years ago where I can actually talk about it again.
Oh.
It's almost like if you were raped.
Yeah.
You know, like or something horrible happened in your life or you can't even. You don't even want to go to that part of it.
Are you ashamed of that period of time?
Not now, but there was a period of time I was.
Oh, okay.
You
did
know?
You do anything horrible? I mean, the guns
yeah,
and shit. I mean,
yeah.
I guess that's not the best.
Like, it was pretty bad. Like, we were pretty fucking crazy.
Wow.
We were pretty crazy. Like, it was pretty far into, like, dark.
Was this fueled by, what was this fueled by? The crazy.
We were crazy kids in a rap group, and we were just, I don't know. You know, one thing leads to another, and you start hanging out with weird people and suggesting weird things you know,
like, let's do a Bukkake video.
Like, testing limits almost, or
yeah,
and see how far you can go.
Yeah, and thinking that, like, you're really untouchable. Like, mm-hmm.
Well, that's also being young too.
Yes.
That invincible feeling.
Everyone does stupid shit.
Yes.
Is there anything that you've done that you actually feel like remorse or regret about to this day? Like, haunting things?
You know what? I think I've gone back and apologized to the people that I've had to apologize to. So I'm pretty clear. Uh-huh. That's why I feel like I can talk about it now, yeah, and goof around about it. And it was so long ago. I mean, it feels like the 90s were like.
What was your sex life like back then? Did you fuck a lot?
Yeah.
Did you do anything crazy? Like, did you ever get anal fisted, or did you put your fist up a girl's butt?
No, like, we, you know, it was like, we would just, to give you like one specific incident, I don't even know. It was just as crazy as you could possibly be, you know, and with, uh-huh, like, you know, where you're in a band, you know, you're 21 years old, 22, you're in a band that was moderately successful. Mm-hmm. You're hanging out with strippers that are already loose,
living,
you know,
life.
And then, you know, this is like when the internet just started happening. So it's like, now we could be in touch with girls in Detroit with nothing going on that are, yeah, willing to come in. It's like, okay, well, you come here, and then this one's coming in from Wisconsin, and let's just put them all together.
Wow.
Let's,
yeah,
see what happens.
Your network expands,
yeah,
rapidly.
Yeah. And then, you know, then it was like, you know, and then there was no digital cameras at that time. So, you know, we would take crazy pictures, and then we'd have to go to like
the Kodak
with the disposable,
yeah,
camera,
like CVS.
Yeah. And then we'd, yeah, have to go drop it off at fucking CVS, and, oh, then we'd pick, God, it up, and we'd just be like, oh my God.
That's,
like,
amazing.
You know, and there, everybody like comes out from the back to like look at you.
That's the worst. My cousins worked at the photo processing place that I used to have to use, and they would like look through my photos, and I could tell, like, because they were all out of order, and I was like, this is horrible.
Yeah.
It's so embarrassing.
It's so embarrassing.
Did they ever like not give you a photo or incriminate you from a photo?
No. You know,
what were the photos of, like,
yeah, because you can get in trouble.
Dicks?
Yeah, like, and like, you know, girls that were like young. I mean, everybody was overage,
yeah,
but it was like, They looked young,
yeah,
you know, and then it's just like to see like how far can you push.
Like, was there what? Like a picture with like a snake up a butt or something? Like what happened? What's, you know, the craziest, like, thing that happened in those,
I mean,
days that you remember?
Just like multiple people and
gangbangs.
Yeah, and like things inside of people and my roommate and the one guy that I worked in that I was in a band with worked at an adult bookstore.
Uh huh.
And it was like a ring for like a mafia, like money laundering thing. So they had no idea their inventory was being stolen.
Right.
So we would literally show up, open up the trunk of the car, and throw in every sex toy we could ever like possibly get out of the place.
Nice.
And then
how old,
like,
were you at that point?
About 21.
Oh, okay. So
22.
Old. Okay. I was thinking like 15.
No.
Like, did you
no.
get in any debauchery when you were like 15, 16, 17?
You know, no, I wouldn't really say debauchery.
Or anything sexual. Like, when did you have sex for the first time?
I started having sex at 14.
Okay. With a girlfriend? Or a girl?
No, this is actually a funny story. My aunt came to stay with me because my mother was out of town. And she had said to me, are you a virgin? And I said,
what a weird question.
Yeah. And I was, and my aunt was in the Hell's Angels. So, oh, I mean, that guy, you know, and
never
she
mind.
Was like,
so
yeah.
A normal question.
Yeah. For her. Mm-hmm. And I was like, well, actually, you know, I am, I'm still a virgin. She's like, well, we got to change that. So
wow.
She said,
thanks, aunt.
Yeah. And she's like, do you know any slutty girls? And I was like, yeah, as a matter of fact, I do. And this one girl, her name was Stephanie. She had sex with this guy, Andrew Schumacher, in the gymnasium changing room, like
Whoa.
The locker room.
Yeah,
yeah. Exactly. So
Andrew.
I was like, that's an easy target right there.
Oh.
So
did you like her personality?
Oh, she was sweet.
Okay.
She was sweet. And she was hot too.
Yeah.
She was hot, but she was like one of those, she was 13 and she was like one of those 13-year-olds that was like way overdeveloped for 13.
Oh,
like,
yeah,
she didn't know.
I had double D's at 13. It was not pleasant.
Exactly.
You looked a lot. People thought you were a lot. Grown-ass yeah. men thought yeah. you were a lot older.
She could have probably passed for 17, 18 years old at
Damn.
13.
Damn. Yeah. Oh,
so,
that poor girl.
I know. So she came over and my aunt went out and she got vodka. And we got,
what
she got this She got this 13-year-old drunk.
What the fuck?
Yeah.
I mean, I think your aunt might be supposed to be in jail now.
Is she okay? Is she living a good life?
She's, you know.
She's a school teacher.
I mean, you know, she's mellowed out a lot.
Okay. Well, now, when this was happening, so did you drink?
I did.
Wow. A lot? Because when I first drank, I was 15 or 16, and I remember taking a shot, and it burned my insides, and I just couldn't, like, I puked, and I wasn't even drunk.
Yeah, it was awful, but it was like, you know, a shot or two, and I was like, I'm pretty fucked up.
So you went to this girl and was like, yo, Maya said I gotta fuck, so I pick you, Pikachu.
Well, I think I was a little more smooth, and I was like, hey, why don't you come on over? And you want to come over and hang out sometime? And she, like, my aunt went down and picked her up, and I don't know why her, I don't know what her parents were thinking. And then, and then she came over, and then my aunt was like, all right.
Did you know what you were doing?
No.
Had you ever seen porn at that point?
No.
What?
No. Yeah, it was.
What did you doubt?
Well, if she had had sex before, she could walk you through it, right?
Yeah, but she didn't know what the hell she was doing.
Right. Well, I mean, 13-year-old sex is usually not, from what I've heard, the best.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was the first experience I ever had with sex. And it was
it good?
No, yeah. but it was like,
of course not.
It was like, at least that's gone.
Yeah.
You know,
it's
like,
out of the way.
Goodbye virginity.
Absolutely.
People get so like paranoid and they were like, I got to lose this virginity. But I don't know. It was never like, I never felt pressure to lose it. You felt an actual pressure.
Yeah. And especially with my aunt being like, well, what the fuck are you doing?
That's a very direct pressure.
Come on, you prude.
Yeah.
So that's an very interesting way to kind of like start your sexual career. How did that change like how you viewed women? Like, I mean, even your aunt being like, do you know any slutty girls? That's a real...
Yeah, no, you know, I mean, it didn't really, you know, it just kind of, I don't know, it just started things, but it took me a long time to sort of develop.
It didn't drastically shape your views or anything. You're just like, okay, that's happened. Did you know that was weird that happened? Or you were like, oh, okay, I guess I'm doing that.
Yeah, I mean, it just kind of was like, whatever.
Yeah,
and then the second time, it was actually like a year later, it was my 15th birthday. And my friend who was in high school, she was 17, I was 15. And this is the first girl that ever like got me high. You know what I mean? Like she was like in high school, but she was so much more advanced, you know, and then we'd listen to like Beatle records and she'd show me her vagina behind the bushes, you know? So
what song?
The White Album. We liked the White Album.
Oh, nice. Very good.
So awesome. 15th birthday, she's like, what do you want for your birthday? And I said, I want to have sex. She's like, all right, go get a condom. So we went downstairs. It was in August. It was like the heat of the summer. And we laid down in my garage at the time.
Oh, on the floor of your garage?
On the floor, like in the oil stains.
Oh my God,
on the concrete garage.
Concrete.
Mm,
and I literally just touched it. Like I put the condom on. I just touched her. And I was like.
You came?
I'm done. I don't know what to tell you.
Were you upset or were you like, no, that happened?
I was a little bummed.
Did you jerk off a lot in your younger years?
Oh my God.
All the time, right?
Yeah, I would
everything
jerk
was
off
sticky
like crazy.
And stiff.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it's just like when you're that young and you fantasize about vagina, like it's like.
And internet porn wasn't as available as it is
like,
now.
You had to jerk off to like a
bra kettle.
Exactly. I would. That's the truth.
Yeah. I remember Steve would tell me stories about that. I'm like, aw, tasty penny.
Yeah. Or like, you know, I remember seeing like a picture of Marilyn Monroe. It was in like Time magazine or something where it just showed like a tit. And it was literally like maybe like 3 inches, you know, and I cut it out and I hit it and I would look at it. I would study it.
Oh my
God. I would, you know.
That's for later for the spank bank. I got it.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is kind of crazy now. Like kids just have access to everything. It's like.
To the most fucked up shit.
Yeah.
I mean, you can watch at 13, 14, some fucked up stuff.
Well, that's why we live in a desensitized society. I mean,
we have to.
We saw 50 Shades of Grey last week and we're like, oh, that was tame. It was like baby shit.
Did you see that movie?
No, I have no desire.
I mean, it's for 40-year-old women. So.
Yeah.
Who are like, kink? Oh, a whip? Oh my God.
Yeah. Like my mom, like that. She's the type of person that would go see that and be like, you know, this is so erotic.
Yeah.
You know?
It wasn't erotic at all.
Yeah.
So it was always easy for you to get chicks. It seems like you always had a plethora of pussy, kind of, or at least you didn't have to work. Like you asked for your 15th birthday, you wanted to have sex, and she's like, "Get a condom." That's pretty.
No, that was easy. But you know, I was a dork until I was able to get into a band.
Oh yeah, did you get in a band for pussy?
Of course.
That's the only reason. No one ever said because I loved music.
I just enjoy the guitar and the melodies so much.
I wanted to speak to people through melodies.
That's
never happened.
It was literally like, this is just the gateway. And then I also worked in a tattoo shop. So
there you go.
That was like, it just opened the floodgates.
Wow.
Yeah.
Those are awesome. Two sexy places, bands and tattoo shops.
Yeah.
What's the kinkiest thing you've ever done with a girl?
Oh my God.
Or the thing that you're like, okay, okay, yeah, yeah. The most adventurous.
What's going to shock us?
Yeah.
What's We've the kinkiest
blood
thing?
Play on here before? We talked about blood play.
Yeah, no blood play. It's just, it's hard to say. You know, it's just, oh
my God. Have you ever filmed a porn video? Have you ever been in a porn video?
I've not. I mean, I've filmed stuff that, you know, will stay in my phone.
Oh,
forever.
Well, yeah. Personal
right.
videos.
You know, it's the kinkiest thing. I guess the one thing was, I just talked about this on the show that I work for. And it's, maybe it's, I don't think it's the kinkiest thing, but, there was this one girl has a mothering fetish.
Huh.
And
with men, like, she likes to mother or she likes to be mothered?
She likes to do the mothering.
Oh. Please tell me you sucked her titty.
Of course. And then she did a thing called baby heading.
What?
Where she would hold my head and I would suck on her tit and then she would rub my head like a baby.
Okay. Wait,
this is
did
interesting.
Did you touch her clit?
No, it was nothing sexual.
It was nothing sexual. But she was doing it because she got aroused by it, right?
I don't know what her reasoning was for doing it.
Interesting.
But she just had like this void in her life and she needed to mother.
Oh,
is this something this was the first time you had come across this particular sexual fetish?
Well, see, it, to this degree, yes. But there was another girl, and Tinder opened up the whole other world of, like, you can really kind of zone in on, like...
There's some good-looking people on Tinder. There's some good-looking people. Really? Dude, wow. Yeah.
Personalities leave a lot to be decided,
yeah,
well.
Yeah, but you can also zone in on, like, hey, look, this is what I'm interested in. This is what I want. Are you interested in this?
Right.
Yeah.
And that opened up a whole other thing. But I met this woman on there who... Before this is there was two instances of mothering. The first one was went over to this girl. She had like a beautiful house. She had like a little like baby pool, but it was like a nice pool.
That was for you.
It was in the summer, yeah.
That was for Widow Choi.
We like smoked a joint and she like made me dinner. She was cutting my food and feeding me.
Oh my God, this is fascinating.
Yeah. And then she would
just rolled with it?
Of course.
Did you know you were walking into this?
No.
Okay. Wow.
Did you know? Great. When did you catch on? Like, that she was acting like a mother specifically to you?
I didn't catch on until we were having sex and it was, she was basically like, I want you to come for mommy. I want you to be a big boy and come for mommy.
Okay. But I've said stuff like that, but I never had nestled someone and had them suck on my titty.
Yeah. But this was like a 42 year old woman.
Right.
She was pretty sexy. She was like she looked like a pinup model, you know, but like fully tattooed, pinup model. She used to be a dancer for New Kids on the Block.
That's awesome.
And
she
amazing.
She was like so proud of this. Like it had come up like three times in the one time we hung out.
I mean, that's kind of a huge deal, Troy.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
So was the mothering thing like acting like a mother while you were hanging out before you guys fucked like foreplay for her?
Yes,
I'd imagine.
For her, yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
I guess that makes, I mean, I've never thought of being turned on by that, but I get
like
it.
Oedipus.
Well,
you know.
Yeah. Did she ever explain it, like why or the roots of that or?
No, because I didn't really get a chance. I had to walk away from it and then digest what had just happened.
Yeah. Right. I'm honestly like proud of you that you just rolled with this and like no one said up front like, hey, I'm into this thing called mothering, you know?
Yeah, no. And I don't even think she put a title on it. Now, the other girl had... We had discussed it, and she says, "Yeah, I have like I'm into mothering."
Oh, and was it the same thing? Like suck the nipple, hold the head.
Yeah, that was with the second girl. It was more like.
So, like you liked it enough that you were willing to try it again.
Yeah, okay. And then it's like,
well, because when she said it, were you like, well, as a matter of fact, I have experience with this.
I did not, but it was like, sure, you know, like who doesn't want to be caressed?
I was like, it seems comforting.
It does.
So comforting. And she'd put on like spa music. So it's like,
oh God.
Yeah. It's like, I mean,
that sounds great.
And I literally just like,
I thought you would put on like nursery rhymes and like lullaby.
Would she let you sleep while
she
sucked
that,
your dick?
It was too weird.
Yeah. That's the
weird.
Oh, real, like actual children's tunes.
Yeah. And then, when this came up on the air on the show that I work for, Opie was like, you need to get her, you need to wear a diaper and go to the bathroom in the diaper. And I had texted
her.
I said,
she's
hey.
Craving that.
And I had actually texted her and I was like, hey, would you be into me wearing a diaper? She's like, absolutely.
Wow.
And so within like an hour, she texted me a picture of like, hey, I just bought diapers whenever you're ready.
Whoa.
Wow.
So that was interesting.
Yeah.
And what do you think about that? What do you, were you,
Have you worn this diaper yet?
It was like, it was cool. You know, it was like,
okay. Did you shit in the diaper?
I didn't shit, but I did piss.
Okay. Thank God. Thank you.
I always wonder what it would be like to be an adult person and pee in a diaper.
It's weird.
Well, one day you might be able to find out, Christina.
It's
fingers
weird.
Crossed.
Hope I get that far.
It's weird because, first of all, there's just warm pee dripping off my balls into my ass. You know, yeah, what I mean? That, it doesn't that, go that right doesn't into the diaper.
Fun. Yeah.
You know what I mean? So it's like, wow. And then she was changing my dirty diaper and she's like talking to me like, okay, let me pull the, you know, like, well, good boy.
And you had a straight face the whole time.
No, I'm laughing so fucking hard. I'm laughing so hard. I'm farting in her face.
This is amazing.
And was she like, oh, you ate your veggies today?
She did not break character.
She was the Chris Kattan of that scene. She oh, no, Chris Parnell. Sorry, Chris Kattan was always happening.
She was committed.
She Parnelled that.
That's impressive.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And then did you get, when? At what point did you get hard?
Well, it was like, that would come after we'd have sex. And it would be normal sex. It'd be great sex. And then the mothering came afterward.
Oh, after.
Yeah, so that's why it's like you can just doze off.
Wow, you know? What a night. Oh, sure, that kind of sounds fun. Yeah. But the first person, the mothering was before.
Yeah. So but I didn't like, know it was mothering.
Right, until. Wow.
You just thought it was a weird lady.
I just thought it was weird. But see, like, you know, with
she's just real nice.
With Tinder, it's like, I kind of got to the point, like, I feel like I beat Tinder. Do you know what I mean?
Like a video
game. Like you fucked all the girls? Yeah.
Like I just went so far into like overindulgence that I started
really
like,
seems it, yeah.
I started like trying to figure weird things out to do.
How? What do you mean overindulgence? You just fucked a lot of people?
Yeah. Like I went pretty crazy. I went like pretty fucking, like when it was like a new thing.
Yeah.
And I was like.
It was still is. It's a very popular app.
It is.
Fucking.
But like what's crazy? Like what's a number that's crazy to you?
I don't even know.
Triple digits, no, quadruple.
I mean, probably under 100.
Okay.
Okay.
Realistically, I don't. Yeah. Right. It's hard to say.
But because I feel like you're a good looking dude. You're tatted up. You got cool hair. You got a great job. Like you're a Tinder fuck trophy. Like you know what I mean? I would think as a girl.
Yeah, and you know, as long as you have a little bit of game, it's like it's really. And then it started. I just started trying to do weird shit. I started like.
Like what?
Like I would tell these girls, like we'd be talking on Tinder and I'd say, okay, come over and I'm going to open up the door. Like, and that was the thing is like, I went from like, okay, let's go ahead and grab a drink. Or right. Let's go grab dinner.
Snooze.
Then that became child's play.
And then I was like, oh my God, Larry, we're just going to grab one drink. I have a one drink maximum.
Yeah.
And then it's like, you know what? I'm just so fucking tired of hearing about
dumb
stupid,
shit.
Stupid people's grandmothers in Wisconsin.
Right.
Like, I don't give a fuck.
That sounds awful.
Right. And I have to sit there like I care just so you feel comfortable enough to have sex with me. Like this is bullshit.
Yeah. It's all small talk that means nothing.
Right. But I understand because it's like the girl wants to make sure she's not going to have sex with a psychopath.
And also as women, I think it helps us feel not like prostitutes. Just straight up.
Right.
You know.
Well, then I try to really like advance that. Whereas, like,
I hate that
like,
part though. I love the prostitute feeling.
Yeah, I mean, it's wonderful
fan.
For the
it
guy.
Doesn't.
Like, the less talk, the better.
Well, because for me, I'm smart enough to know that you don't want to be there learning about my life. So why? And then my time is precious. So why don't we just all save each other time?
Yeah,
this
I don't
was
know why,
Tinder New York, by the way.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't know why you can't relate that to other women because for some reason,
well, we want to keep it open and everyone comfortable.
I mean, yeah, everyone. I like. Talking.
I can imagine the tweets we're gonna be. Getting.
I'm a talker. I like the talk. I don't like small talk. I like meaningful talk, but I love the talk because I have to, it takes me a while to feel comfortable.
I like no talk.
Enough to fuck.
At any. I would love like seriously like fucking someone who I've never spoken a word to. That is erotic to
me. That does sound fun. That does sound erotic.
Well,
but how did you step up your game?
Well, so it was like, okay, so now it's like basically like we got to make it so it's like, you know, hello, like here
here's
we go.
My dick.
You know, so it was like, okay, here's what we're going to do. I'm going to hand you out a blindfold. And I'm going to, and you put the blindfold on and I'm going to wear the blindfold and we're not going to take it off till we're having sex.
Oh
yeah. So then I did that a couple times. That was fun.
Before you met you. Now you negotiated these
Never,
terms over Tinder?
Over Tinder.
Okay.
And then, you know, it's
and
like,
she gave you her address?
Well, she came to my place.
Oh, okay. That's okay.
Which is like, you know, which is better for me
you
because
didn't kill
like,
anybody. That's great.
Yeah. And I, like, it's like, I don't feel like
you're
going
not
out
a, yeah.
I don't feel like going
tell.
Out to Bushwick.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
Like I live in Manhattan. Like,
well, this is the benefit of being an attractive man though. Like an ugly dude or even like an average looking dude could never do this because like, I don't know why like women think like serial killers can't be attractive. Like
it's
very it's
weird.
I
think
know there
that
have
too.
Been attractive serial killers.
Right.
Yeah.
Like
you got
several.
Me. Yeah. I mean, you got the balls on these girls to show up and do something like that.
But it went well, right? Most of the times that you did it?
Yeah, yeah. It went. Everything went well, you know, and then...
What was that? What's it like to blind... So you handed a blindfold out the door.
Out the door.
So you didn't see each other. Obviously, you saw her photos. Her in the photos, right? So you knew, okay, this is someone I could see myself having sex with.
My only concern is having someone's penis inside me that I haven't checked out yet.
And then, the penis is in you, and then it's like, surprise!
You're using condoms? Hey. Using condoms, though?
Of course, absolutely.
Okay, so I guess.
Wow. And did that ever go awry? Like,
no.
I mean, they know, obviously you talked about it beforehand, so you knew that they were down.
Yeah.
That sounds hot.
Yeah, but there was a couple times where, you know, like, I'm not on Tinder anymore. I got off of it. Because it just like, there was like, I feel like I went too fucking crazy. And I was like,
the whole audience just all like,
well, damn it.
Well, like I'd meet a girl and she'd be like crazy and tattooed and like into anything you could possibly throw at her.
Is that your kind? Are you like the alternative looking chicks? Is that your thing?
Yes and no.
You just like girls. You just like women.
Pretty girls.
Honestly, at this point, like personality is more important to me. I know that sounds like, but you know, I'm 37.
Well, because it seems like you've really run the gamut. So it's like,
I know I need something.
So you want some? You need some intellectual stimulation.
Something.
Yeah.
Something.
Okay.
You know, and then it's like, then you have this crazy chick, and she's fun and wild, and then it's like, oh, I met this crazy chick, and then I met this crazy chick, and it's like, well, let's just fucking put them all together and see what happens.
Did you have an orgy?
Yeah, of course.
Oh, fuck yeah. How did that go? With you and a ton of chicks?
The most has been three.
You and three chicks?
Yeah.
How was that?
It was fun.
All Tinder?
Yes.
Nice.
More than three seems unmanageable.
How do you satisfy three vaginas at once?
You take a lot of Cialis. And you just fucking...
Is that like Viagra similar?
Yeah,
Viagra?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Have you ever, has that ever gone awry? I don't know why. Like, I imagine, like, when you take a Viagra or a Cialis, that your just dick gets hard for way longer than you want it to be.
Yeah, but you have to sort of be turned on for it to work.
Okay.
So, like, if you just take it and, like...
So, it gives you duration.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But, like, you're just so fucking amped that you're doing this.
How long did that four-way last?
I'd probably say a good solid hour and a half, 2 hours.
Whoa. And then were they fucking each other? That's great. That's impressive.
Yeah.
Do you have a room that's just a giant bed?
No, just the normal bedroom.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you light a candle, play music?
No, I mean, there's music playing, but it's just like...
Let's fuck.
Yeah, it's just...
And whenever I imagine like any like sexually adventurous situation involving other people, I can't get past the awkwardness of the beginning part. I can't get past that.
Yeah,
like in my head.
Were you completely sober?
Yeah, I mean, maybe smoke a little weed. But I don't really get drunk. I don't really like to be in my head because it's like, that's such a high. It's
yeah,
like,
of course.
Yeah, why do you really want to dilute it?
Yeah.
You
know,
and also you can't fuck with the substances in the penis too much. Like girls don't understand that because like we can kind of do whatever.
Yeah, that's it's a no delicate, effects. Fragile ecosystem going on down there.
What affects the penis in terms of drugs? Like what whiskey dick is a thing that I've heard of.
Whiskey.
But some guys will drink whiskey and they're fine.
But see, there's like, and like Coke. Like if you do too much Coke.
Oh, Coke dick I've heard of.
You know, it's like if you do the right amount of Coke, it's like you're in it for a fucking battle. But,
really?
But if you go too far over, then it's like...
Because I dated a guy who had, he said he had coke dick. And I guess he must have done a ton of coke.
Yeah.
He was like this boxer guy. Very attractive. I don't think I have his number anymore because I wanted to be on the podcast. But he would have coke dick every time. I'm like, how much coke do you do?
Or maybe he just had erectile dysfunction and he thought it was cooler to say he had coke dick.
Maybe.
Because
it was not even a little hard. At the time, he was probably like 26, 27.
Okay, yeah. You know, it's
muscular
hard, man.
Muscular guy. I mean, you know,
who knows what kind of like
also
supplements
like steroids,
he's on.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly.
If he's an athlete, that could that really affects the penis. True.
Or if you're on like a lot of like stimulants, like a lot of times, like they take like stuff to like get them like ferocious to go into the gym and weightlift. And a lot of times, the stimulants they fuck you up.
That makes sense. Oof.
Yeah.
So Tinder's worked well for you, but you're kind of over it. You think?
Yeah. It just I maxed it out. Like
there's
nothing you
haven't done that you want to do sexually with the Tinder world.
Yeah. No. I've maxed it out. I've you know, and then you have like a couple like. Couple experiences that just they taint it. You know,
is it a girl's personality or like it gone?
Girls getting crazy,
like stalkery.
Yeah, like showing up, like being standing in front of my apartment.
Yeah, I can see that happening very easily.
That would be is it because you did something like the blindfold move and they're like, well, this is what he likes, so now I'm gonna just show up with my pussy open?
No, I think what happens is, with Tinder, like I was always very straightforward. Like, this is what it is. This is like, don't expect anything else. Like, I'm not looking for anything. Like, spell it out clearly.
Be very clear up front. Yeah.
And I think a lot of girls go into it going, okay, cool, no problem. But they're thinking to themselves, wait till he meets me.
That's what he says he wants.
But wait till he sees how amazing my pussy is. Because some fucking shithead dude's like, your pussy's the best pussy.
Right.
Because no girl's going to be like, I have a fucking lame pussy. There are no girl in the world going to say that.
My pussy's super lame.
Yeah, or I'm a boring fuck.
Well, what? Okay, so I know, a boring fuck, I think some people do know deep down, but like, what's a lame pussy? How would we define that?
Just, you know, somebody that's just not adventurous or sort of just lays there.
Oh, so you don't mean like
their actual shape of their vagina.
No, pussy. I'm just talking pussy meaning the whole package.
Right.
Of like,
right.
That's why you're there. It revolves around that.
Their enthusiasm for sex and for adventure and to be down to try stuff.
Right.
Okay.
Because you would think if you're walking into a situation like that, you would have to be someone who was like kind of forward thinking sexually. Otherwise, why the fuck would you sign up for that?
Yeah, but a lot of times girls will see me and they'll go, they'll be like vanilla girls.
Yeah.
And they'll say like, oh, like, I've seen tattooed guys like this. Like, yeah. I've never been with one. Let me see what that's
You're
like.
You're like a stereotype type of dude that they want to check off.
Right.
Like tattoo guy, black guy, Spanish guy.
You know, and they date like finance guys or whatever, you know, and it's like, boring fucking shitty, like suit and tie dickheads.
Yeah.
You know, and it's like, oh, this guy seems like he'd be a lot of fun. He spelled out what it is. Why not? He doesn't seem too crazy.
And the honesty up front is kind of rare.
Yes.
They also
probably read 50 Shades of Grey. Maybe.
Exactly.
It's destroying everyone.
So
that in Sex and the City.
You have an issue that I wanted to talk to you about. Something tragic happened to you a couple years ago, and I feel really uncomfortable talking about it, which is stupid, but you had a girlfriend named Perla, and you were together for 2 years,
like 3 years.
Yeah. Three years. And you guys had a great relationship. It seemed like, you know, I knew Steven said he met her once. She's great. But there was she passed away. She died tragically while you were with her.
Yeah.
And you were hiking is what
we were hiking in Pennsylvania and she had fallen.
She'd fallen and you were there. It was just you and her, right?
Yeah.
How do you get out of bed after that? Like your strength after that to like pick yourself up back again and get out into the world. How was that? Like, what does that do to your, cause losing a child and losing a spouse or a boyfriend, girlfriend, someone you love. I can't imagine anything worse than those two things happening to a person.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's beyond, I mean, it's still something that like, I can't even put it together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, there's so many layers to it. And, you know, you're going about your life one day and everything is great. And you're just going on a simple hike in the woods and you're just going to enjoy nature and clear your head. And, you know, this happens and, you know, I remember walking out of the woods alone and you're like,
did a helicopter come and get her?
It was up in the woods and they didn't get to her in time.
Oh, okay.
And, they had people walking up with a stretcher, like, paramedics walking up the mountains. And we were like a mile and a half up.
Okay.
So you can imagine
how long
that took.
Yeah.
I remember getting in the car and seeing her purse and her shoes.
Oh,
and,
my God.
You know, and you're just like, no. And
yeah.
Like the whole ride home, it was like, how do I,
was
how
she
do I reverse this?
Pronounced dead on the scene?
Yeah, it took a while.
Oh, it took, okay. How do you,
they let you just drive home alone, though?
They tried not to.
Okay, because I was going to say, I was like, that seems like,
I don't even know how I could see.
Yeah.
My eyesight would stop working. I mean, I just can't imagine.
You can't comprehend it. You don't think it's real.
Yeah, I was going to say, you're like in a state of shock.
You're in shock.
Takes a long, how long did it take you to like almost digest it and make it feel like it was real?
Honestly, it probably took almost a full year.
Yeah.
And I still am dealing with it every day.
Oh, God, of course. Yeah.
Like, it's just like, it's like,
it's a part of, it's a facet of your life that, like, it, that's such a huge thing to happen. You can never, it's like when someone's parent dies or something, you never forget that, you know?
Yeah.
And that usually happens, if you're lucky, like later in life.
I'm going to say, I think that's different old, though, because you
this
go.
This is a tragic, all of a sudden, what the fuck?
Well, you like, expect you expect your parents to die though. Like that's like something that you know is going to happen, even though it's tragic and you don't want it to happen. Like that's something you expect for your parents to die before you. You, when you're in a relationship, you guys are together and you want, you're going to grow old together.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah. No, more. It's like, and it's like, yeah, it's so weird that, you know, I was like, this is the girl, this is the person I found, the person I'm going to spend the rest of my life with. And then, for her to be gone, it's just, and then like, you know, there's just so, I mean, aside from me and like what I deal with mentally and still am dealing with mentally, it's just the layers of like her mother.
Oh, of course.
You know, like, and like trying to comfort her mother, and it's
God, how I mean,
it's impossible. I mean, it's a battle you're never gonna,
it's one of those moments where there's nothing you can do except exist in the moment, right? I would and just keep going. I mean, the time, you know, that the cliche of like time heals all, but you just sit there. I mean, how do you make yourself feel better? Did friends comfort you in a way that helped, or did that not even matter?
No, I mean, it's just, I went into like isolation.
Yeah.
You know, and truthfully, 100% truthfully, the only thing that helped me was just, I just did yoga every fucking day.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was like, I'm going to go home and just, I'm going to kill myself today.
Yeah.
Like, today's the day I'm going to fucking do it. Like enough's enough. Don't be a pussy. This is what you want to do. There's no reason to be here anymore. Just do it. And then I would go do yoga and I would go, I would be like, okay, all right. Like, everything's okay. You know, this,
cause that meditative portion of yoga is so helpful.
It's so deep. It's so introspective. I mean, I have not gone through anything even close to that, but when I, you know, going through a tough time, like I couldn't do yoga without crying though. I mean, are you like sitting there? Like
it's bawling.
I mean, it's really tough to do yoga. I cry all the time. Even if I'm not sad doing yoga, I cry.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like just like people must have thought I was fucking crazy.
Right.
You know,
I mean, I get
sitting.
People who maybe who didn't know what the situation. Oh, like people in your yoga.
Yeah,
class.
Your yoga.
Oh, I feel like people doing yoga understand some weird stuff. Like, I don't
know. They
know
something everybody else doesn't know. Because Steven and I did yoga yesterday.
It's very special.
Because he weren't in town. So I went with him. But I almost cried. I'm like, why am I doing what? Brings out something in you. I don't know.
You hold things in your joints and like your hips and.
Tension and pressure. Yeah.
And when you open those up, it lets it out.
Yeah.
You know, and that's what it was doing. And it was just like, and that's why I felt relief for like a time period, because it would be like, okay, like calm and get through it. I'm still like this weekend I was away and like basically with that situation with her, Perla, and what I went through, I can't look at pictures of her. I can't, if her name comes, I mean, not that this is fine, but like, you know, like friends will, sometimes they don't know what to say and they'll be like, she was so wonderful. And I'm like, shut up.
That
like,
doesn't help.
Like, yeah, I don't want to fucking talk. I don't want to talk about it. I can't look at her pictures. Like if a picture comes up on Facebook, I have to quick move past it.
Yeah.
Like, I went away for a couple of days this weekend, and it's like, you know, those times where you can, the busyness of the city is gone, the work is gone, it's just you and your thoughts, and you sit there and you thaw out and you just go like, and it just started like coming back in, and you know, I've suppressed these feelings for so long, but then they come back in and you're just like, you know,
suppressing them is a mechanism that your body's doing to protect you. Cause it's almost like if you just let the wave in, how do you not like explode and like literally explode? Like you have to, there has to be a balance of brushing it and kind of putting it at bay.
Yeah.
I don't know how to deal with it. It's right.
I'm still struggling how to deal with it. I mean, you know, everybody's like, oh, you need to go to a grieving therapist. It's like, well, that person didn't know her.
Yeah.
So
you need
like,
to do whatever you need to do.
Yeah.
And like people always like make a bunch of stupid suggestions.
Well, yeah, because
they're trying to help, but they're not helping at all. Yeah.
Right,
basically.
Right. You know, but nobody knows the right thing to say.
No, of course. And it's just like, awkward for everybody.
And
yeah.
Even if I happened to somebody else, you know, other than saying like, I've gone through it, I know what you're going through. Other than that, I don't know what to say to that person. Yeah. Everybody's different.
Well, it's different. Yeah. Cause you can now empathize. But you mentioned being suicidal. I think that's something that a lot of listeners can relate to.
We've had a lot of emails
because of a loss.
Yeah.
And so, what were the thoughts that, like, besides doing the yoga, like, was there an actual thought process that made you decide that you wanted to keep going?
Honestly, it was probably that I didn't have the balls to actually go through with it. That's mm-hmm. that's probably the only thing that really stopped me. Like, I remember driving over the Williamsburg Bridge on my bike and being and stopping and being like, all right, go ahead, do it. Are you a man? Are you going to fucking do it? Are you going to man up and do this?
Right.
You want to do this. You're dreaming about doing this. Why don't you do it? And it's like, I don't have the balls to do that.
Yes.
Because I start thinking about, like, my family.
Yeah.
Like, it's going to destroy my mom. Mm. It's going to destroy them. And I can't do that to them. If I didn't have them, it may have been a completely different story, because honestly, like, I really wasn't sure what to live. I'm still trying to figure out what to be excited to be here for. You know what I mean? It's like, you know, do you get excited about your job? Do you get excited about, you know, what, I mean, like, and I feel like I'm so fucked up from relation like that.
Yeah.
It's like,
how do you think about loving somebody romantically again after that? I mean, you can't, you just not focus on it, right?
It's like you say, like, okay, you meet someone and you go like, oh, I really like you and you really like me. Okay. Well, if we're together, one of us is going to fucking die. Yeah. So, you know, like, I'm not going through that thing. If I have to go through that again, I'm fucking, that's it. Like, so. You're gonna have to deal with me fucking dying. Who, you know, when you get in a relationship with somebody, who wants to hear that?
Yeah,
that's such a, like, a.
Well, you know. Louis C.K. addresses that in his stand-up. He said, you know, best case scenario, you stay together and then one of you dies. And I mean, I feel like he just kind of handles, like, stuff like that. So stuff that's so hard to talk about, and just like, there it is. And and it's gonna suck. And there's really nothing you can do about it. So, like, to this day, like, if I said, like, are you happy that you're alive today? Your answer is
at times.
At times.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I feel happy when I'm creating art.
Okay.
I feel happy. Probably creating is the thing that keeps
me
excited.
Soothes your soul. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Work doesn't really do it for me. Money doesn't do it for me. You know, I'm probably better now financially than I've ever been in my life, and I could care less.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? So it's like,
good to know one day when I'm rich, I won't give a shit. I always figured that. I'm like, yeah, you're going to be so excited, then you're not going to care anymore.
It's nice not having to worry where your rent's going to come from.
Yeah. Right.
But if you're looking for happiness in money, it's never going to fucking come.
Yeah.
Never going to come.
It's so rare that you hear someone say that money makes you happy. And then those people, you're always like, what's up with you?
Yeah,
like, that's
exactly.
A weird. Yeah.
Yeah. Like I said, but it's nice to go like, hey, you know what? I'm going to go on vacation next week.
Of course.
I'm going away, and you don't have to worry about, like, where's my money going to come from. But yeah, it's.
But that doesn't mean anything at the end of the day.
Nope.
I mean, what means something, I would imagine, is just love and other people and relationships, friendships, family, whatever relationships you value, like other people.
Yeah.
Is that what you've kind of deciphered after this? Like, that's
kind of, I mean,
what keeps you.
It just, it's so weird. It just feels like life is just this thing that you just got to kind of occupy your time with something.
Might as well have fun.
Yeah, and like find people that you like and respect and want to be mm-hmm. around, and you're just fulfilling this obligation to this earth, and then it's over, and then you move on to whatever's next. And that's kind of like a morbid way to look at it. I've unfortunately listened to a lot of Morrissey, so it kind of, that doesn't really help. You know what I mean? But it's like,
well, I think that's comforting, though. Like, the fact that, like, we're all going to die, and then I don't know what happens after that, but you're going to die. So don't worry about all the dumb shit you worry about every day.
Yeah.
Like, I tell myself that to ease my anxiety.
And, like, you know, one of the other things, like, and another reason, like, I got off the whole Tinder. And the Tinder thing was actually, instead of diving into alcohol and diving into drugs, like, I went deep into that.
It was a coping mechanism?
It was absolutely a coping.
Okay.
It was absolutely a drug to occupy my time, and I kept searching for that new high.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why it was like, let's see how fucked up we can get.
Yeah.
And then you just, then it's like, okay, I don't have to deal with this issue.
Right.
Now I can just think about how fucked up can I get this situation.
Mm.
And then once that situation happy, then you ride that high for a day or two, and then you're already putting together the next situation.
It's a good
in your
distractor.
Head. Yeah.
I would imagine, though, that was the healthier choice versus drugs or alcohol.
Yeah. I mean, luckily I was
die from sex if you get something, STD that's so nuts.
Yeah,
that it makes
I would
you
think
die,
using sex as a coping mechanism, if anything, would be obviously emotionally harming. It's not really going to be physically harming
right.
to you. So it's just kind of like a choice to make, but it's like you have lived a more zesty life than most.
Right.
So it's like, I think that's, you know, you can handle that, because drugs and alcohol, that's just a good way to really just kill yourself.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's pretty endless. And luckily, like with the Tinder thing, like I just bottomed out. Like you just start dealing with some weird shit, and like the weird shit
like
goes
what?
From just like I remember this one girl was like she was like crazy squirting, like a crazy squirter.
Okay.
And I remember she drenched my bed, like soaked it all the way through,
like,
and I was
like, as in like almost like she pissed it.
Yeah, I mean she's right. Like female ejaculation.
Right. Yeah.
You know,
just like the amount,
but
yeah.
The amount was the like. Amount was
an amount that I didn't even know was possible to come out of a human.
What did you
being.
Do to her to make her do that?
She you know, you just know how to do
did
that.
Did you do it with your penis or your hand?
Hand.
Oh, okay, yeah, because it's hard to do it with penis. Usually,
right, but with her it was possible.
Okay,
she was wow. just she,
this is, that was her body.
Yeah, she was so in tune with she knew how to do it easily, uh-huh. And I remember it being soaked through to like the mattress, and I was ugh. Like, I was so fucking grossed out by it.
Okay.
Because first of all, I don't even know who she is. Do
and
you know
now
what I mean?
Her cum's all over your mattress all over for all of time.
And I remember like putting it all, and I was like, had no blankets on my bed, and I was trying to sleep, and I was just like, what the fuck is this? And then there was like, another girl that was like, like I remember she was like so hot, but she had something wrong with her, and her hair was falling out. And I remember finding clumps of hair in my bed. Like it's just
like I'm sleeping in a pile of jizz. I got this bitch's hair all up in my shit.
Yeah, and it was just like one thing after another where I was just like, "What the fuck am I doing?" Like,
yeah.
You know, and it just it sucked the hot out of it. You know.
Yeah.
And then the crazy, like when girls start going crazy, man, that's like, it's just such a boner killer.
Wouldn't you, it's a type of girl though, that's capable of kind of going, and when you say going crazy, you mean clingy, right?
Clingy.
Showing up at your house.
Clingy, the text, showing up, well, I'm, you know, cause I DJ as well. So okay. Showing up to my DJ events.
General stalking.
And not being cool about it. Like, cause you
cool.
know, if I date a guy and he's in a band, I'll show up to his show. I'm not trying to like,
but right. Like you'll text him
put
first.
A ring
like, hey, I'm going to come by. Is that cool?
Yeah. Right. Or like, right. Hey, what are you doing tonight? Hey, I'm DJing. Hey, why don't you come out? You know, blah, blah, right. blah. But you know, it's like, yeah. You know, and if you get the invite out, it's cool. But then like, there were girls that just got fucking nuts and like, hey, you
what,
just,
what, how would that end? Like, how would your contact with one of those girls that kind of went nuts end? Like, would you say like, stop stalking me?
Well, it basically was like sometimes you have to be a fucking asshole
yeah.
and be like, listen, get the fuck away from me. Stop texting me. Leave me the fuck alone. Like, I want nothing to do with you. Most of the time it was like
when it got so extreme.
Right.
Yeah. Cause you're a nice dude. I can never imagine you saying that to a girl unless she pushed your limits to the point. Yeah.
Well, we all have to say that. I mean, that's why, you know, women are bitches because men don't get the message. Like, you know, so I start out being nice, but then if they don't get, I'm like, literally I'm going to call the police. Like if
yeah.
you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and then, you know, sometimes
put your foot down.
It's just like, it sometimes it gets to the, most of the time it would just get to the point where it's like, listen, we had fun.
Right.
This is a lot of fun. I think it ran its course. And I think it's time for us to move on. And well, and then they'd be like, oh, blah, blah. I'm like, listen, if things change in my mind and I decide differently, I'll let you know.
Mm,
and I'd always
yeah.
leave it at like, I'll let you know if I'm interested in again. If you don't hear from me,
right.
plan on it fucking not happening.
So then
again.
Were they like, mm-hmm. okay, so that's not a no.
Well, it's
in their
like,
head, they might have done
well,
that.
Well, it's an easy way to like say, shut the fuck up. If you hear from me, then, you know, we'll see what's up. But right. chances are you probably won't.
Yeah. yeah. Did you notice any between the girls that did do that with you? Did they have a common personality trait that not necessarily had to do with stalking, but they all were really giddy girls, or were they just different types?
Because
I'm wondering though, because I would imagine because you're so upfront and honest, you're a handsome guy, you got a good job, you're a cool dude, you're sexually adventurous. They're probably like, oh fucking jackpot, I'm never letting him go.
Yeah, that's probably what it is.
I feel like
you know, like I said,
yeah.
like they're like vanilla chicks who have dated vanilla guys,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it's like something that's a little out of their ordinary, you know, and it's like. When you have things going on that would equate to like, this is a cool person.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, it's kind of like, you know, they think in their mind, they start fantasizing.
It's so rare.
Right. They start fantasizing like, oh, you know, he does this and it'd be cool if we were dating and blah, blah, blah. And they start like, it's almost like, you know, you build things up in your mind, you know, where it's like shit
oh,
doesn't
yeah.
really exist. And
well, I mean, yeah, women classically, sorry, we're both very sick.
I know.
And we're going to make you sick. No, women classically, you know, like first date, you know, are planning your wedding and everything
exactly.
like that. So it's that kind of a thing. But
I did that with Steven.
Yeah,
I caught. We had our first date. Wasn't supposed to be a date, and then he was like, "Oh, my girlfriend dumped me," and I was like, "Really?" And then I called my mom, and I was like, "I just met my husband."
Well, because I mean,
never told him that.
That's part of the fun, though. I mean, for me, like, I mean, I'm not, I don't even want to get married, but it's just like kind of like you just, it's just fun to plan it before you get to know someone and know that they're a shit piece.
Yeah, it's fun to live in your fantastical mind for a little bit until someone bursts your bubble and then they're like, stop stalking me, bitch.
Yeah, well, I think a lot of times too, like when you get, how old are you if you don't mind me
asking? I'm 27.
Oh, okay, so like, yeah, I mean, you're like at an age where it's like if you meet somebody, you've been through, you've dated a lot of guys, so you know, like, okay, like you meet somebody, you're like, you know what? I can see myself with this person. Yeah. So I don't really think to think something like that, you know, but be able to control your emotions.
You got
to
be cool.
Yeah.
You got to be cool.
Like I've met people and been like, oh, I could see myself with that person.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't know if I made wedding plans, but like, you know, but I'm also not a girl. Like I don't fantasize about marriage. Like
I don't fantasize about a wedding. I just fantasize about like being together forever.
Yeah.
Like the actual meaningful part of getting married to someone is like that companionship.
See, when this is so narcissistic. When I know that I really like someone, I envision myself going to the Oscars with them. That's okay. Like a real thing that I have. Like, I know I like someone if I'm like sitting at the Oscars and we're there together. I'm like, if I would bring you to the Oscars, I fucking love you. I've never fantasized about a wedding. Yeah. Like if I win and I get up to accept and whoever I, in my daydream, I look over and whisper like, we did it, babe. Like that.
I knew it.
Yeah, whoever I feel like you all along. That's like a real recurring daydream. Okay, sorry. It's weird.
So, how you doing now? What's up now? Do you date?
Well, starting from the beginning, how long did it take before you got intimate with a woman?
Oh, again? Yeah.
I mean, I'd probably say within like a month.
Uh huh.
And then, again, it was just to like drown your sorrows, like,
yeah,
like literally
transfer, like, what you were focusing on to something totally different,
totally
to give yourself a break.
But there's literally nothing other than physical at that time. Physical, like, yeah. That's, it's like men have the ability to completely separate, and some women too.
I was like,
I do know women that are
mostly
like that.
Men though,
yeah, but
I
it's
really
mostly men because, you know, I
it's
think,
hard for me to separate.
Yeah, like it's with women, it's a lot of mental stimulation to get to a point
to have an orgasm, some
right. So
don't talk for 20 minutes. I'm almost there.
But like with men, I mean, it literally could be like, it's like you, that's why men could go have sex with a prostitute and not think anything of it, where women can't comprehend the idea of that. Like,
mm-hmm, right,
you would have sex with a stranger. It's like,
I get the hotness of it, but a lot of women, they need to have it's like the foreplay, the mental foreplay to them is getting to know you and you know,
right,
maybe nursing you while you suck on her tit.
Yes.
People like different stuff.
But yeah, I mean, it's like, I feel like I'm pretty far fucked up in like, you know, being with somebody more than physically.
Okay. So like you've had emotional connection with another lady?
I have, but it's like, it's weird because it's like the physical.
Yeah.
It's like it's in like compartments,
mm-hmm,
you know, where women can have to blur the whole thing sort of. Most women have to sort of blur the whole thing together. Where men, it's for me especially, it's in a compartment. It's here's the physical, here's the friendship, and here's the intimacy.
Mm.
And I'm struggling with the intimacy part of it.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Where it's just like, I just feel like it doesn't even exist in my being anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know if I'm capable of doing it anymore.
Right.
I think that's normal though, because I mean, even I went through a bad breakup, which is not even on even close to the same level. And like, it's been 3 years and I'm like, I don't really think I've gotten to the level of intimacy yet. And I think I'm pretty numb to it at this point. And I actually often worry that I don't know if I can get it back ever again.
Yeah.
So
yeah, it's hard. And it's, you think to yourself like, oh my God, I may have fucking ruined it, may be ruined. And then,
right,
you know, you start meeting somebody where like, I've met somebody recently who's like really cool. And it's like, oh, cool. Like this person's dope. Like,
yeah,
I'm feeling this person, but it's like, you hit a wall. You, mm-hmm, know what I mean? It's like,
yeah, absolutely.
I don't think this is going to go much further than this. And then, you know, when I think women over time think, oh, he'll understand. He'll come to me a little bit more down the road. And then when it doesn't happen, it's like, no, this guy's damaged goods.
Well, and also, I mean, women struggle with men being emotional and giving that part of themselves anyway. So on top of that, you being just a man, you know, you're a man, right, who's going through something pretty uncommon and severe. So, yeah.
And then I just don't even really believe in marriage anyway.
Right.
Have you ever?
Not really. No.
I mean, when you think about it, I feel like I've talked about this before, but marriage was originally created so that dads could sell their daughter for property or marry your daughter into blood. Like the origin of marriage was a transaction to begin with, and then people create something around it, but it was all fake.
Yeah, and I feel like it's I just feel like people nowadays in this day and age need to think outside the box a little bit, because like I know like my grandparents were miserable, my parents were miserable
as a couple, like together as a
together
couple
over mm-hmm. time, and I know a lot of friends that are married and have kids, and they're a lot of them are miserable. I'm not saying you can be married and not be miserable,
of course,
but it's just like I think like if you're going to be with somebody for an extended period of time, I don't know why you have to make it legal.
Yeah,
and I'm also a little bit more for the idea of, like I said, thinking outside the box, where maybe you if you're really involved with somebody, you get involved in situations that are outside of the norm sexually.
Mm-hmm. Right. So have you? Yeah, absolutely. Like, so have you done stuff like that with people you've been in relationships with, kind of inviting other people to the party?
Yeah, or you know, even just being at a situation in weird situations, or just not being so uptight about sex. Like that's the thing.
Like going to a sex party where people are having sex in front of you. Yeah, kind of even like a voyeuristic.
If you're not participating, just
right.
watching.
Right.
You know, there's something hot about being in a room with
people
orgy,
fucking. Yeah.
You know,
I wanna
so,
do that.
And it, you could completely, and then you could go home with your partner, never touch one person, and have the best sex of your life.
Oh,
cause you're so fucking insanely fired up.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And it's like, I think people, if you want to make a relationship work with somebody long term and you're both sexual like that, you have to start thinking outside the box and stop thinking that like, okay, this person's with me now, I'm the only person that they're going to ever fucking look at.
Yeah, it's that's stupid. That's why I don't like marriage. I always feel like marriage is like someone like peeing on the other person, like marking their territory.
Exactly.
Yeah. Like, I hate that feeling.
And then, and not only that, but like, you know, you're with somebody, or you know, somebody's with you, and then they start getting comfortable. And they start putting on some pounds.
Yeah.
And they stop.
You
and they
have
stop
to be your best self. Yeah, because when you meet them, they're their best self, and they're looking their best, and they're trying to impress you, and they're trying to be their best them.
Yeah.
And then that fucking goes away.
No one looks shittier than a couple in I will say. Oh my
but
God.
But you shouldn't get, you should
sad
always keep
people,
the other person on their toes.
Exactly.
Amazing.
Exactly.
Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
Always got to keep them on your toes, sexually, romantically, all of that stuff. Like getting lazy, I think is a buzzkill, and not being sexually open.
Well, I mean, that's what they mean when, you know, a relationship is work. Like even a good relationship is work. Work in keeping, you know, when you have all this time that you need to spend on another person, you still need to go to the gym. You still need to follow your own dreams, because people's dreams kind of mush together sometimes, and that's the whole big.
I also feel like if you take like 80% of the people who are like, I believe in monogamy only, and you really break it down, they'll tell you that it's not natural to be attracted to one person for the rest of your life.
Right.
That doesn't make any sense.
It doesn't.
And to even just recognize that in your boyfriend or girlfriend or whoever you're seeing is like a weight off of your shoulders.
It's something that you also need to establish early in the relationship. Like, and I know that's a hard thing to do, especially because like you want to be on your best behavior when you meet somebody.
But if that's important to you, when it is, it's like, you got to make sure.
Exactly.
Especially as you get older. I mean, like for me, like now I'm just like, if you want to get married and have kids, like I can't even, why?
Yeah,
even
the bullshit
bothering?
You tolerate, I would imagine gets lower and lower, and you just cut to the chase more.
Just needs, not even bullshit.
But like when you get involved with somebody and then you're with them for like, let's say 3 or 4 or 5 years, and then you're like, you know what? I kind of think maybe we should consider like an open relationship type thing. The person, a lot of times, the other person will be like, what, you know, what did I do wrong?
Am I not good enough?
Yeah, am I not good enough for you? Why do you want to go somewhere else now? So that's why it's like, you almost got to, like, from the get-go, sort of lay it out and feel it out. And it also requires a lot of trust.
Yeah.
A lot of trust. Like,
but also, people get jealous in monogamy relationships, where there's monogamy, and people get jealous. We've interviewed a couple that had an open relationship, and there's jealousies there, but there's always going to be those little things.
There's always going to be. Yeah, that's just where open communication really comes into play, where you need to be clear with everything. You need to be open and honest with who you're dealing with and what's going on. And a lot of times, like, if you're able to have fun together, as opposed to like separate, but you know, a situation where you, it, a lot of times it helps like bond the two people together.
Like sexual fun?
Yeah.
Oh yeah. I would imagine. Yeah. I mean, the most adventurous thing Stephen and I've done is like, I used to ask him to go to strip club. We love going to strip clubs, but like the first couple times, like we went to the strip club and I wanted him to have a good time. Cause that would dictate me. I mean, cause I wanted him to like get turned on by all the chicks, mm-hmm. and then we'd go home and have like the best sex ever. And that's very like basic level, like, ooh, sure. adventure. Yeah, yeah. But even that, and then it increases as you get older, hopefully.
Well, that's big on your part too, because a lot of times it's like, well, and I've been with girls before that I were like, you know, let's say you're with like my ex-girlfriend was like a blonde hair, blue eye girl, mm-hmm. you know, and I would say, oh wow, look at that chick, she's, you know, black girl, and then she'd be like, what, you're into black girls? No, I'm not a black girl, you know what I mean? And like they get right. jealous because it's like they're not that,
right?
But you have to be comfortable with, okay, I'm not a black girl, but I'm confident with who I am as a
you
woman.
Have to be secure about
exactly
yourself. Yeah, and recognize that other people are extremely attractive, and yes. you can recognize that in front of each
yes.
other.
Yes.
Yeah, I used to get really upset by boyfriends. I don't think ever with Steven, but like when I was younger, when they would like compliment a girl in a fucking movie, they'd be like, wow, she's, oh my God. I'm like, oh, so I'm not good enough. Like, oh my God.
No,
so,
one of my favorite I've grown as a person is like being like, oh, like, who, saying who chicks are hot, yeah, with like a boyfriend. I'm like, oh yeah, that girl's totally hot. Like, yeah. I mean, like, I've definitely followed a girl down the street because she was wearing yoga pants. Like, all the time I do stuff like that. But I don't want my face on a vagina, but I can admire beauty. Like, it's like a yeah. piece of art in a museum. Like, mm-hmm. that's, I think it's okay.
You're going to keep a guy so much more excited in you if you can be cool enough to relate to what he is experiencing as a man. Do you know what I mean? Like,
right.
like if you're able to go, what do you think of her? Oh, she's fucking hot. Yeah, she's fucking hot. You know what I mean?
But you have to be comfortable about doing that. You don't want to just do that because to be the cool girl.
And so what do you say to girls though who want you to, I want you to experience if we're dating what I, like vice versa. Tables turn and I want you to be able to say that guy's hot.
Yeah, I could definitely say that a man is attractive.
Yeah.
Like I don't have a problem with that. And sometimes it's like, I like knowing if I'm with a girl that I'm, you know, it's becoming something where I care actually what she thinks. Mm-hmm. It's saying like, what kind of man are you attracted to? What about him? What about him? Like, I don't mind that. Yeah.
yeah.
And it's, you know, even if it's like a black man, you know, it's like, okay, like, you know, yeah, black men are attractive.
With his
okay.
giant penis and yes, you know, smooth
like,
voice.
I understand that. You know what I mean? Like you see a man and go, I understand why you're attracted to that guy.
Yeah. Right. You know? Yeah.
So. Do you mean like because you are not a black man?
Just because you can relate as a woman, like that guy's fit.
Do white guys get really insecure about black dudes?
I definitely can't watch black men in porno.
Yeah.
Because I get bummed out.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
I'm not kidding. Like, it's
and
like,
also,
oh,
like,
shit.
To me,
but you know, sometimes that's too much.
Yeah,
right?
But you know what, though? In a guy's mind, there is no such thing as too much. And I've heard...
In a girl's vagina, there definitely is.
And girls have said to me, oh, you're the perfect size. And it's like, yeah, but I would love to just look at a woman and see fear in her eyes.
I was like, you want
to
hurt...
What does that feel like as a man?
I see it in your eyes. I knew that.
I want that bitch to take off my pants and run away.
The moment I said it, I was like, no, he wants to hurt. He wants someone to go, ow, and cry. And then take his cock out and there's like a little blood on it.
Well, I want to be like, holy shit.
Does that make you... Why?
Because it's just...
A pry.
Because your
pry.
Penis is...
Because he's 50 Shades of Fucked Up,
Christina. Oh, you are 50 Shades of Fucked Up, Troy.
We're just, you know, shouting out our last...
A man's penis is so attached to who he is.
I mean, yeah.
You know what I mean?
That'll, like, it is.
You know,
there's no body part that defines a woman, even her breast, the way a penis defines a man.
There really isn't.
There's not.
No. What the fuck is up with that?
I don't know.
Guys and their dicks, man. Yeah. They're best friends.
It's everything, man. And if your dick doesn't work or there's something wrong with it, it's too small, it'll fuck up the rest of your life. You know
because
what I mean?
Because I got a lot, most guys think with their dicks first in terms of like a sexual attraction and going about their romantic life, and their penises rule your teenage years, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, and especially like if you know how to use your penis well and you can satisfy a woman, there's something that just kind of like it gives you that extra mojo to walk into work the next day and tell your boss to fuck off. or whatever it is.
It's truly the key to many things.
Yeah. Or ask for that raise or tell this person that you're doing business with, you know, like it just gives, I can't
the
explain.
The confidence that a good relationship with your dick will give you.
I knew this guy who was not attractive at all once. And I was like, I was thinking like, why is this guy so fucking cocky? And then I had sex with him and I was like, that is why you're literally cocky. Like your cock is huge. Yeah. Like, so it makes sense.
Is that why a lot of guys who don't like their penis, maybe because it's small or whatever, it doesn't work to their liking, get like sports cars and get jobs.
They become stand-up comedians.
You have to compensate on it in another way.
Yeah.
You know,
women don't compensate. Women don't have that. I'm sure you've met girls that are like, wait till you see my pussy.
We don't compensate. We just have crippling low self-esteem and then we date people who treat us badly. That's what women do.
I mean, not all of them.
I mean, that's what a lot of women do. I think that is like, that is the same kind of, if we're trying to make a parallel.
I guess. But what do we get cocky about our...
What?
What do we get cocky about? Like, oh, my tits look good today. I'm gonna tell my boss she's a bitch.
Oh, well, I think when you go out and feel sexy and you get attention.
Getting attention for feeling sexy. Getting attention when you want it in the way that you want it. It like, has to be specific.
When a girl goes out to a club and she looks hot.
And she knows.
She knows it.
That's true, actually. Because girls feel sexy. Girls can feel, you can put on an outfit and do your hair and just fucking make yourself up and feel hot as fuck. And you feel everybody looking at you. You know everybody wants to fuck you. Yeah. That's a pretty great feeling, I will say.
The power of the pussy. Certainly.
Is that, that's equivalent to like, my dick made her cry.
Yeah, exactly. Or, you know, guys feel that the same
power,
way.
It's power,
you know?
Yeah.
It's okay. Power. It's like, you know, it's nice to have your ego stroked a little bit, you know, and it helps you kind of stand up a little taller, put your shoulders back a little, you know, a little further. And, you know, you kind of feel like, you know, you're a man. That's what it is. Your penis is what makes you a man, you know?
Is that the only element? Is there anything else?
Well, and then, you know, you're...
Having a kind heart.
No.
No, I don't think that's involved at all, actually.
Yeah, I mean, of course, like, your ability to, you know, your job has a lot
provide.
To do with it.
Okay,
provide,
yeah.
Mm-hmm. You know, and be good at your job.
Okay.
You know, when you walk into your job and you're the man, mm-hmm. you know, it's...
Oh, that's an accomplishing feeling for anybody, yeah.
Respect and power, and that's what I feel like what it is to be a man. Jeez, I am a man.
Well, I admire that, like, doing a good job at a career field that I've like wanted to be in and accomplishing, like that makes me feel like I just made a girl cry with my dick.
Right. I think it's like those are things that are stereotypically masculine, but like in this, you know, day and age.
But only because women can work hard too, you know?
Well, exactly. Yeah. That's what I'm saying.
That's a lesson,
we can,
guys.
We can do it.
All right. So we have to wrap up, but it's been really fun talking to you. Where can we find you online? Do you want to promote anything? We got a lot of listeners.
On all social media is Troy Kwan, TROYQUAN on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter.
We'll put that in the description. Any fun DJing gigs coming up?
You know, regular. it's all over the place. Just check my Twitter, TroyKwan.com. And then I also, if anybody has a podcast out there, I also do a lot of freelance work for podcasts. Yes. Like I help design the sound of your podcast. So I've done, you know, Robert Kelly's, Jim Florentine's, a ton of other comedians. And
great guys. Great podcast.
Yeah. So, you know, if you have a podcast, you know, hit me up and I'll help you design the sound of your podcast for a relatively
decent price. Maybe the people emailing us about like, I want to start a podcast.
Yeah,
email Troy.
Instead.
Email Troy because we don't know.
We don't know.
Basically, what it is like the production around a podcast. Help you design an open for your podcast.
You know what the fuck you're doing and you can do it well.
I've done a lot and I do stuff for, it was Opie and Anthony. Now it's Opie and Jim Norton on SiriusXM.
Someone got mad in Times Square and everyone got too sensitive about it because we're all pussies.
And Troy will make your podcast just good enough that it's not as good as this one.
Exactly.
That's right.
Just
that's
a little deal. Below, guys.
That's the deal that we have.
All right, guys. This has been another rousing episode of Guys We Fucked.
Thank you so much for
being
so open.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it. This was a lot of fun.